Good morning. Welcome to the conference of results for Grupo Nutresa's quarterly results. We have Mr. Vallejo, the President of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, the Vice President of Corporate Finance, and Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance. My name is Catherine Chacón, and my job is investor relations. Thank you for your interest. After the introduction by the President and Vice President of Corporate Finance about the results for the second quarter of this year, we'll start the Q&A session. Any questions we receive through the webcast will be read verbatim. Those who have been connected to the conference via telephone in English, we will be thankful if you send your questions via the chat option. If you want to follow the slides in Spanish, because by default they are in English, you can download them from the platform screen. Thank you, those who are sending the questions through the webcast and through the audio, to give your name and the institution to which you belong. I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the President of Grupo Nutresa, to start the presentation.
Good morning, and thank you very much for being with us in this conference for the results. Please go to the next slide, where we will share with you some highlights for this period. First of all, we want to tell you that according to Merco, which is the corporate reputation monitor company, Grupo Nutresa was recognized as the company with the highest ability to retain and attract talent in Colombia, the most attractive in the food sector. This evaluation is being carried out by this independent organization since 2000, and this year they included more than 47,000 surveys between or among surveys from the companies, university students, headhunters, people responsible for HR areas, and the general population. Grupo Nutresa, our company, is part of this ranking since 2012, and we've been going up in positions from the fifth place that year until in this year we achieved the first place. So we think this is a very important recognition to all the company's leaders and to all the staff, because really, people are making reality the dreams and the objectives of the company. We'd also like to tell you that Fitch Ratings reaffirmed the rating for 500,000 million pesos as a AAA. This is the highest possible rating. The perspective is stable, and according to Fitch Ratings, the decision of reaffirming the rating is due to the sound competitive position of the company in the relevant markets. It is a recognition to the diversification in geographies, that they have favorable operating conditions, and they also say that the company's liquidity indicators have improved, favored by the increase in operating cash at the end of the period. Third, very important, also we want to tell you that during this quarter, the board of directors of Grupo Nutresa appointed as the new CEO, Mauricio Reina Echeverri. He's an independent member of the board who also took over the presidents of all the support committees for this body. Mauricio Reina will replace Antonio Celi Martinez Aparicio, who will continue as an independent member of the board of directors of Grupo Nutresa. Mr. Reina is an associated researcher in FEDESarrollo, is part of the finance, auditing and risk, appointment and retributions, corporate governance, and board and strategic planning committees. He was a director of the Ministry of the Foreign Trade. He's an economist by the University of Los Angeles and a master by economics from the same institution, and he's a master in international relationship by Johns Hopkins University in the States. For further information about the functions of the new CEO, chairman of the board, which included the company's code of good governance, you can come to our webpage with a link that we are including in the presentation. Let's go to slide number four. As part of the highlights, we want to
make a comment about the strategic priorities of Grupo Nutresa and the sustainable development objectives. And that within that sustainable framework, which is constantly evolving, we are committed to contributing to achieve the sustainable development objectives for 2030. We made an analysis where we compared the company's strategy with an analysis of materiality, where we indicate the company's priorities and the expectations and the needs of the related company, and we complemented this analysis with a view of the analysis, the opportunities and the trends. Comparing all of this, analyzing all of this, we arrive at the six strategic priorities for the group, and I want to tell you about them. The first one is to drive the profitable growth and effective innovation. The second is act with integrality. The third, reduce the environmental impact of the operations, the products. First, to encourage a healthy life and manage the value chain. And the sixth is to build a better society. In the graph that you have in slide number four, you can see those objectives in the back. When we compare these objectives to the 17 objectives of sustainable development, we see that there are 9 objectives that have a lot to do with our priorities, and we're going to focus on those, as and those objectives are the ones that Grupo Nutresa can have through its activities. These objectives are 9, which is innovation. The 16, peace, justice, and strong institutions. 13 is climate action. And the 12 is production and responsible production and consumption. The 8 is decent work and economic growth. 4 is quality education. And 2, and which are in the upper part, which number 1, end poverty. And 17, partnerships for achieving the goals. We believe it's important to share this with the entire investor community, because this is a company that produces value, it endures over time, but it also builds through its activities and helps build a better world. Let's go to the results, and let's go to slide number 4 again, so we can talk about the sales for the second quarter of 2018. We had sales in Colombia for 1,421,000,000,000, with a very good growth of 6.4%. This growth is the highest reported since the third quarter of 2016. And as you can see, that growth is basically due from volume, also of 6.4% growth in volume, with a small decrease in prices of 0.2%, which is basically due to a change in the sales mix. That also reflects what we mentioned earlier, that this is a very careful strategy with pricing. We have very positive behaviors in value and in volume in all the businesses. You can see that in the graph. With the exception is ice cream, where due to the rains, especially the beginning of this quarter, there were lower volumes, and we lost about 0.6% in the prices and 2.6% in the quantities. So, in general, very good quarter for sales in Colombia. Outside of Colombia, we had sales for $282.1 million with a growth of 5.3%, which converted into Colombian pesos, it's a growth of 2.5%, because during the quarter, we had in Colombia a revaluation of 2.12% vis-a-vis the dollar. All the businesses except the coffee business, where we had lower sales for exports from Colombia because of the price situation, but all the other businesses grew, and I'd like to highlight the growth, double-digit growth for the chocolate and cold cuts. These are pretty significant during that period. When we combine these good performance in slide number five, we can see what the quarter was like in total sales. We had sales for $2,222,000,000, with a growth of 5%. This result reflects part the gradual recovery of consumption in Colombia and the good dynamics of the businesses in our international operations. Most businesses are growing. In the case of coffee, the negative is due, as I said, due to the international operations, because but in Colombia it grows. And in ice creams, it's the same explanation I gave you when I talk about the Colombian sales. I'd like to report also that the sales of innovation, which we reported here as a significant leverage for growth, were during the quarter 22.42%. It's a very representative figure. I'd like you to, now that we know about the quarter, let's go to the slide number six, where you can see accumulated sales during the quarter. In the first place, in the quarter in Colombia, we had sales for $2,767,000,000, with a growth of 4.4%. This is pretty positive, and is very much influenced by the trend in the second quarter. Also, in this quarter, this performance in sales is based on high volumes. You can see that from 4.4, it comes from a growth of 3.8 in volume and 0.1 in prices. That asterisk that we have there by the price, it means that this doesn't include the consumer food business, and that is why it's only 4.4%, because in the consumer food business, there are, we don't speak about tons, but rather transactions. But we also have positive transactions. All the business units are growing in volume and in value, with the exception of coffee, which has a slight decrease in volume during the semester. With respect to the operations outside of Colombia, we had sales for $547.3 million, with a growth of 5.9%, converted into pesos into $1,559,000,000, with a growth of 3.3%, because during the semester, the average revaluation is 2.5%. The behavior of sales, international sales, is positive, and similarly to the quarter that I explained earlier, we had good performance in all operations except the coffee, because of the slower dynamics in the export side. When we combine in slide number seven the positive growth both in Colombia and overseas, we had some sales, total sales of $4,326,000,000, with a growth of 4.0%. You can see there all the businesses in coffee. We already mentioned that, what happened. And during the semester, the innovation sales were 21.9%. That shows that it's a semester where we can see the gradual recovery of consumption in Colombia and good international dynamics. When we go to slide number eight, we can see what the sales by region are at the end of the semester. Biggest geography is Colombia, with 64% of the total sales. Second place is Central America, with 9.3%. The third one is Chile, with 8.6%, and in the fourth is the U.S. with 7.5%. Remember that Venezuela is in zero, because since the end of 2016, and then the third quarter, at the end of that quarter, we decided to record this investment as a financial instrument, so it is no longer reflected in these figures. When we go to slide number nine, we show some information about the market share in Colombia of 3M Lucchetti. We have consolidated 59.4% share. This is minus 0.7% compared to the previous year. It is true that there's a slight decrease, but it's less than we had seen
during the previous quarter. As you can see, in cold cuts and in coffee, we had slight decreases, but crackers and we have a neutral behavior, and in chocolates we have good positive behavior. We have an increase in shares in coffee, in pasta, and in instant cold drinks in Mexico. As important information, I would say that the company's position, we have very important market shares, and we always try to have those shares support a profitable growth of the company. So we see that it's normal that in we have some decreases in temporary businesses and to recover our profitability. But we want to recover those positions. So we don't see this as a serious situation, but just a specific point situation that changes, and our positions and our investments are very key, and these are the consequence of everything that we do, and that's why we continue to invest in that. Going to slide number 10, where we speak about raw materials and the commodities index, I'd like to take the opportunity, like other conferences, I'd like to make a comment about our supply model. Grupo Nutresa Raw Materials Management is part of the responsible supply model, which tries to ensure the business continuity, capitalize on opportunities, and manage the risks that are not under direct control of the company, because they are part of the supply chain. This is a very important topic for us, and we manage that in the way that we look at the different aspects that impact our chain. This is aligned with the different strategies of the company and with the objective of meeting the United Nations Sustainable Development Objectives. We have four focuses. One is to expand the coverage of this growth model, the new implementation of new businesses. And the third one is to include the sustainability audits into the supply chain. And the fourth is to close supply gaps in all the operations. As an interesting figure, we have 15,800 active suppliers. During the previous year, we trained 635 suppliers, and they attended 3,830 people attended these training sessions. We invested more than 1,260 hours in training. Purchases in Grupo Nutresa is approximately 4.8 billion pesos during 2017. We did more than 600 audits to our contractors and suppliers. This is to complement what we've always been telling you. And this specifically, this goes to the Nutresa Commodity Index. During the first quarter of this year, our index had a similar average than last year. This is the result of a balanced dynamics, the raw materials balance, and when we analyze the different commodities, we point out that we had increases in some proteins, mainly chicken and beef, and cocoa and wheat, and the oil, sugar, and coffee had lower reference prices, international reference prices. I'd like to remind you that the promotion of local prices in some commodities doesn't necessarily follow the trend. Mainly we've been in the inputs that are affected by local taxes. This is still a stable behavior, and as what we mentioned, we manage that using a coverage strategy which is very seriously managed with all the controls and with some physical inventory when the conditions allow us to do so, and with a very professional management of the entire supply chain. None of the raw materials, other 11 raw materials has more than 11% weight overall. So having a clear idea of what this first how the quarter went in sales, or the semester went in sales,
what is our share in sales in the different geographies, what the participation is like in the market, and how we're doing in raw materials. I'll give the floor to José Domingo Penagos so he can continue presenting about our results. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Let's talk about profitability by business unit. Please go to slide number 11, where we have the information for each division. In the first place, tell you about the size and the behavior of the EBITDA for the entire group. We can see here that the margin is 12% with a growth of 1.6%. By business unit, we'll start with cold cuts. We can see here that improved sales during the quarter as a result of an increase in profitability, but it has a good behavior, but the pressure of raw materials, even during this quarter, those persist. However, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen how it's that pressure is decreasing, especially in pork. Remember that this is that the devaluation affects because it affects imports more than the imports. We have some exports for fresh meat, but it's still a very small amount. It has more impact on the imported raw materials. That's where our EBITDA is 11.4%. After the cold cuts, we have a sort of block, sound block, which is biscuits, chocolates, and TMLC. The growth, especially in biscuits and in chocolates, this has been consistent. We see that in the quarter and also for the semester. And in principle, talking about the biscuits, we had a margin of 13.4% higher than the average. And speaking about 17.5%, it's a businesses which is highly balanced from the point of view of geography, half in Colombia, half outside. And our profitability is pretty similar, very balanced, both in Colombia and overseas. Here, the exchange rate has a different impact. Because of that balance in the raw materials, in wheat, we have some significant coverage, not only in for rate of exchange, but the commodity itself, which allows us to maintain this margin. It's very significant, but it's also sound, and we will keep it like that in the medium and the short term. We have the chocolate, it has very good business dynamics. The growth is very, very significant, 15%. We also have a very good coverage in cocoa. Cocoa had some volatility, but in general, we've managed to reap some benefits from the market in that commodity, and we can forecast that it's a sound profitability level with very good outlook. With TM look, we have 13% practically growth, and it's a bit of 7%. It's very much aligned with the first quarter, as we'll see next in the accumulated figures. The Chilean peso has a major devaluation, but it doesn't really have an impact when we bring the numbers, which is our Colombian pesos in. Then we have coffee. Definitely here the impact is on the raw material. You can see the international indices, how coffee has been decreased. I've also told you that in different conferences that that the main cost of the raw material is the local raw material and some co-products from coffee that have been increasingly sustainably. Now we have to have this in mind, that the exports are being affected by the rate of exchange, and this is added to the EBITDA margin, and
the growth of the EBITDA during this for this business has been affected. An EBITDA margin is 9.7% in retail foods with a significant decrease of 19%. This is affected in Central America mainly. Our retail food is the addition of the El Corral, mainly in Colombia, and in Central America and Dominican Republic. The business in Central America is growth. Contributed to EBITDA, but it has a very heavy rain season during the year. This semester has not been the exception, and all of this adds up to an impact, especially in this unit that we call retail food. Also in the ice cream business, it's been affected by the sales dynamics in the quarter, but like other units, over the last few weeks, we've had better dynamics in Colombia, especially the weather has improved, and this is reflected immediately in better business dynamics and therefore in its ability to absorb costs and expenses. But still, we had an 8.8% EBITDA with a double-digit decrease of 17%. The pasta has a similar profitability than last year, 11% and to 11.2%. This has been usual during the quarter. I'll give you more details about each business unit. And in slide number 12, we have the EBITDA for the entire semester with more general comments because this is the behavior of the two first quarters of the year. In the sound blog by Biscuit Chocolates and TM Look, we have some margins that are in the upper part of the range, especially the first two. I'd like to highlight the 12.5% margin for the EBITDA and the EBITDA 2.4%, which is part of all of these additions that I mentioned earlier. Also in general, as an introduction to the financial statements we'll be looking at in a minute, I'd like to highlight the good behavior of the cost, especially raw materials, very good levels of those coverage costs, higher control of expenses, and return of the volumes. This is key to leverage the improvement of all our fixed components. This is the general comment about the EBITDA during the semester. Now let's go to the financial statements for the first quarter, which are in slide number 13. This is shown in the EBITDA for operations. We have the gross margin. Good performance and a significant increase in the gross margin. As you can see, income grows 5%, costs grow only 4%, and that gives us this advantage. The expenses has been controlled. Administrative and sales expenses grow 4.6 and 4.9 respectively, both below the growth of revenue. That is a key factor in our profitability scheme. Our production expenses go to 6.3%, and that is specific for the quarter, but as you can see in the quarter, and you've seen several times, this has a lot to do with the cost, and this has been growing less than the sales. Operating revenue is 5,500 million pesos. We have mainly specific issues and more than in 2017 than 2018, then we had some recoveries in our level of assets. It's not really a significant item that affects our net profits, or rather operating profits, which grew 2.4%. That is the entire operating block. And in the most operating cost, which also comes as been decreased, the financial expenses
You see those decreased by 28%. It's close to 24,000 million pesos less than the expenses that we had during the same period in the previous year. There's a timing issue because of the dividends of some of our investments. These dividends did not come in during the first, but rather in the second quarter, but they have no impact at all on our profit levels or our cash position for the entire group. In the foreign exchange difference, this is mainly due to the management of the foreign exchange coverage, and we had a revaluation for the all the figures, but in this quarter especially we have a devaluation of close to 6%, 5.9% specifically. In the participation of associates, we have some increases in the investments in Bimbo, for example. We have 40% of Bimbo in Colombia, and to the extent that we had some dividends, we will record them in this item. And finally, we have expenses by 2,100 billion pesos in our affiliates outside of Colombia. This is management of our centralized cash, and as we keep those dividends, we don't want to retain them or accumulate them, but rather we push them into the main general cash here. And our leverage for the group helps us improve that ability to decrease our debts. We have an increase in pre-tax profits of 53%. We have the dividends of Grupo Argos, which didn't come in this quarter. But this increase in our profits before taxes is due to the increase in taxes, but the deferred and the current taxes have increased. And in the deferred taxes, we have, it's a different ratio. Mainly in 2017, we had recorded a significant income from this in the balance sheet, which we had an increase in our added values. We had a rate of 33% in 2017, and we had a different rate for this quarter. So we have that as a net income. We have the way to account for our derivatives on our tax positions. This becomes real at the end of the year, but this is a market value that we record here. Finally, we have some net profits for 424,000 million pesos with a growth of 28.7%. That, with respect to the financial statements for the quarter, it's stable. The financial results for the semester are in slide number 14. To highlight the expansion of the gross margin, we have a 4%, and the cost grew 2.8%, so we had an increase in our gross margin. And it's shown in the accumulated statements. We have the same trend in expense control, controlling expenses in production and administrative expenses. In the sales expenses are obviously decrease the pressure on our margin. We decrease them every day more, and this is a key factor, and this is seen in the numbers right now. This also is an effect of the financial expenses that have been reduced compared to the same period in the previous year. For a net profit of 245,000 million pesos, with a growth of 4%. I say that this is the general summary of our financial statements for the semester. And finally, it was mentioned the cash position that improved internal generation of cash. And this is shown in slide number 15 of that net debt. This is an indicator of 2.46 times of the EBITDA. This is the lowest value since the first quarter of 2015 when we had the acquisition of El Corral. Therefore, we've been deleveraging the group, and we never mentioned the coverage of for interest, but we have a better cash position. And you can see that the interest is better covered. In the introduction, you mentioned the Fitch ratings. I have to say here that this debt level and this ratio has a triple A rating for the Colombian bonds. And this is can be applied to the entire group. We also believe that it has a rate of 6.49% for all costs included for about 4 years. We paid, we had an issue that we had in Peru that had a rate which was higher, and that helped us a lot with this lower debt. Our good cash position, the CapEx for 67,000 pesos for the year, and the projective is 271,000 million. And in the second quarter, we have a higher proportion for the execution of the CapEx, and we believe that that will go to 262,000 million pesos, of which we have 67 million so far. This is mostly in Colombia. 80% of that investment is going to be in that geography, and mainly an expansion of our business lines, investment in current lines, and improvements in productivity. So with this greater cash generation, I'll give the floor to Carlos Ernesto once again so he can tell us about his idea of the perspectives for the next semester. Thank you, Jose Domingo. With respect to the outlook for the next year, for in Colombia, we see a controlled situation with a projected for the year. It's about 3.5. It's controlled with respect to the rate of exchange. We see a rate of about 2,900 pesos with a moderate volatility. I'd also like to say that perhaps with the big picture and possibly anticipating some questions that you might have about these situations in the world trade, we have some risks, but also there are significant opportunities, because among some world powers, they are raising taxes, and we can have more competitive access when we have taxes between them, and Colombia might reach those markets more easily. There is no effect, and in the short term, we see no different effects than the greater volatility we might have around the world. With respect to the commercial aspect, we see that the next few months will continue to recover our consumption in Colombia. So we are optimistic in this respect. We have signs already. Obviously, we have to earn our consumers' preference and the buyers' preference and the clients. We believe that the growth is going to continue to come from volume, and outside of Colombia, we also expect good dynamics. There are some exports from Colombia, perhaps a little smaller growth, but in biscuits and in chocolates, they will continue to have a significant growth. But vis-a-vis the commercial aspect, we have a positive outlook for the rest of the year. About profitability, we believe that we're going to continue to advance in our internal productivity programs that we have for costs and for expenses. And with respect to the commodities, according to what we already told you, we believe that we have very good coverage levels and that are complemented with adequate inventories in some areas. Perhaps the challenge is still coffee, but the combination of that commercial dynamics and the increases in productivity and the commodity strategy, we see that will allow us to continue to have EBITDA margins within the range. And it's important to say that this is due mainly to increases in productivity. So that is the outlook. And I'll go back to Catherine so we can go to our question and answer session. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We'll start now to our Q&A session. Please remember we have a chat and webcast, so receive your comments, and which we will be reading verbatim. So far, we have no questions to the chat or the webcast, so we'll give you the Q&A from the audio, so those who are on the phone can ask their questions. Thank you for your attention. We'll start your question and answer session. If you have any question, please push star and then one in your phone. If you are on speaker, please pick up the headset before you press the number, the asterisk, and then the number one. If you're online, you can start asking questions. Good morning. Thank you for the introduction. I have two questions. Consumer environment in Colombia. Those were the main driver for sales, and we achieved the EBITDA margin. How feasible is it that the price can contribute to our increased sales and profits, especially in cold cuts in Colombia? That is the first question. Okay. Thank you, Andres. First of all, as you say, the numbers for consumption show recovery. Let me talk about two significant indicators. First, the measure of reliability or confidence, rather, went positive, and the expenditures, home expenditures, which were positive, continued to show that trend. Last week, Camilo Herrera reported for the first time he separated purchases from homes between people who are only go after price from those who look for opportunities, but who are not only just price, and the third, those who are looking for value, those who are looking for the best ratio between the price they pay and the value they perceive. And they reported that the first semester, for the first time for the past 2 years, this third group, those who seek value, grew, and those who they look for only price, decreased. It's a significant trend. We see that in the cold cuts we have several challenges, but the cold cuts specifically from the first quarter, in the case of Grupo Nutresa, we had some positive volume indicators. We believe that there is a change in the sales mix, and you can use that to place high added value products, which will help increase the prices. We're going to continue as to be very careful, as I said, because that category that we mentioned, Andres, is the one that has the highest price volume elasticity in all our entire portfolio. So I think it is going to take place, but it will be gradual, and not only through the changes in prices, but also through the introduction of innovations that have a higher added value
And if that trend continues, as this independent consulting company mentions, we might achieve growth through value. We're going to grow after that, but it's a combination of both that will help us grow in that category. Thank you. The second question has to do with the others segment in the information that you report, which is also a third-party products through Novaventa and others. I think that contributed one-fourth of the growth, and it only represents 0.2% of the consolidated EBITDA. Can you tell me about the dynamics of this segment? What do you expect for the medium and short term? Yes, Andres. Actually, we not only have third-party products, but we have disruptive innovation programs that are the first 2 years the profitability is lower. So that those disruptive investments, I mentioned them first of all, and those are something that we do consciously and that open Grupo Nutrisa's opportunities to participate in new categories and new geographies. With the third parties, both in La Rosetta and in Novaventa, and when I speak Novaventa, I'm talking about the catalog sales or the national vending machines. There are third-party products that complement our portfolio in a significant manner. Some of the products are a hook and help us increase the probability of purchasing associated to other references. In La Rosetta and Novaventa, those references could have lower EBITDA margins, but the ROIC are higher than those for the normal references from the group, because we don't have to have an investment in plants, and the positions in working capital are lower. So going back to your specific question, all of this consists of our innovation, disruptive innovation ideas that have low returns, and those are all conscious bets, plus third-party products that have a lower EBITDA or a higher ROI, and we do have specific plans for improving their profitability as well as those that we have in Grupo Nutrisa. There we have very important products, and it's a very volume that we're not going to limit as long as it adds values and as long as they don't cannibalize our Nutrisa product sales. Thank you. Very clear. But the top line, is that due to that innovation, or is that segment reaching new sales outlets, or is that to your product mix? Actually, in those third-party products, there's a combination. I'll give you an example. When I'm talking about new bets, we're talking about products submitted, which has a new entry to a new category. And it doesn't add to any of the traditional businesses. That is extremely doing very well and has a great potential because it is a line which is on the borderline of the business, very close to health and nutrition, but that comes with very good figures. We do not report them as separate because actually we're opening a path, and it would be very useful information for the competition and not for the valuation of Grupo Nutrisa. But in our alternative channels, these are solid leading companies, high quality products, and they've been growing very well, and we're making use of their channels to reach more than 3 million homes. We go together with our products, no conflicts, we grow together, and Grupo Nutrisa has a good ROI, the numbers grow, and we grow hand in hand with significant allies. And it does have very positive growth rates, very positive. And the contribution is very, very good, and they are completely appropriate because these are growths that are higher than 30%. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Thank you for your answer. Mr. Seki Matsumoto. Good morning, Carlos Ignacio, José Amigo Caterine. Two questions about the recovery of sales in Colombia. How much is that attributable to the Easter, Holy Week, and how much is the normal recovery of the consumers? That's the first question. And the second is sales expenses that had grown above sales of the last several quarters. This quarter they grew less, and did you have any strategy over the last quarter to contain those sales expenses? Could you have some increase in volume or market share? Well, thank you, sir. I'll talk to your first part of your question, and I'll give the floor to José Domingo for the second part. First of all, Easter doesn't have exactly the same effect on all the categories in Grupo Nutresa. For the consumer foods, which are the restaurants and ice cream, Easter or Holy Week is favorable because consumption increases. In the case of other categories, it goes against them, because I could say that the quarter shows exactly a snapshot of those effects that are offset and disappear. If you were to take that 6.4% and you try to take that, taking away the effect of the Easter, it give you 3.5. But also, they should have to have a correction in the first semester. So I think that this figure of 4.4 that we mentioned is that gives you a better idea. And I'd say that more than anything else, the single number of quarter two, the good news is for volumes. And when there's an increase in volume, it does mean that there is an appetite at homes to consume or to use the products, and we haven't seen that with that trend for some time in Colombia. That 6.4, if we take the effect away, that would be 3.5, but we analyze this by category, and I would say that the number of improvement is to take a look at the entire semester. I do want to call your attention to the fact that the trend that we see for the future is positive. It's not that it wasn't happened, you know, once and happened and it will disappear. No. The outlook is that those figures will continue to be good. With respect to sales expenses, I'd say that the strategy would always be to increase productivity. We have every dollar invested in these launches, in these sales expenses, in new sales generations, we have an increase in growth and decrease of the addition of productivity and growth in the semester, and that lowers our sales expenses comparatively. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sergio. Mr. Federico Perez from Bancolombia. Thank you for your presentation. First question is to complement Andres' question. Those volume increases and what you mentioned the first quarter of not making any significant price increases, could you expect, in addition to cold cuts, could you reconsider some substantial price increases elsewhere? And the other two questions that I have are more for José Domingo about profitability. You mentioned that in the other income and revenue, operational you have a, I see a change of between, you know, 20,000 million between 2017 and 2018. Could you give me a little more information about what happened to this account? I think it's more positive effects than of 2017 than the negative effects of the second quarter of 2018. And about the EBITDA margin for the entire year, during or taking into consideration the seasonality of the business, especially the fourth quarter, where we have marketing strategies that affected our results for the last quarters. How do you see the goal for the entire year? Thank you, Federico, for being with us here. I'd like to talk to you about the first question in our Grupo Nutresa strategy. The idea is to offer the consumer or the buyer and the client the best price value relationship. This is done within a competitive environment, and as I said in some previous conferences, we have model pricing model that includes a detailed analysis reference by reference in each channel and each geography, and there this is a constant, a permanent thing we do. We believe that we are beginning with a trend to gradually recover consumption in Colombia, and we do not think it's appropriate to make major shocks. It isn't an immovable decision, but what I mean is that we would only do so in which the competitive environment will allow it, and we will continue to believe that the biggest source of value will be the work we do with productivity. We do want to improve margins, but before we manipulate prices, we'll do everything we can with productivity, and that has to do, as I said earlier, not only with the cost, but also with the expenses where we believe that there's still a major potential. And as I said, for cold cuts, one of the things about increasing the price is to provide a differentiated value offering with a high perceived value for the consumer to be willing to pay more for it, and that it would not too easily copied by the competitors. To the extent that we can do that, we can have those prices that we can improve. But we'll still be very careful, and we would only do it in those cases where the environment of the competition allows it. But we also have the other source, which is up to us, which is productivity. And for the other question, I'll give you the floor. José Domingo. Federico, when I mentioned that it was an increase of 5.2 million, it doesn't mean that it is not important. The effect is important, and the math is right. There's 20,000 million pesos that I mentioned. It comes from 14,000 from revenue, 14,500, and 25,000 in expenses in 2018. That's 20,000 million. And it's important because we have all the revenue which are not recurrent. We have an income from 14,500 million pesos because of some sales that, of some assets, and because of we recovered some insurance, and those are incomes that are not repeated during 2018. And you see our donations in the notes of the financial statements. We had some donations at 5,000 million pesos, and last year there were like 600 million pesos in the same amount. So that is a difference for the quarter. We had done that in previous years in other quarters. Thank you very much, José Domingo. The other question about the goals for the EBITDA for 2018. Can you say anything about that? We are very
careful with that, with the outlook, with all the conferences. What I can tell you is that we have very good behaviors for revenues, volumes, the costs are under control, expenses are under control. The truth is that the response should be the same. We maintain the rain. The fourth quarter has the same that seasonality effect. But all of these effects are going to be within the range that we have established. That is the question that the answer that I have for your question. Question from Mr. Philip Luca from Scotiabank. I think most of the questions have been asked already, but perhaps can you give us more information about the international coffee sales? We have some problems with the institutional sales because of the differences in the local and international prices. Do we recover better than we expected? What can we expect for the following quarters, and how have the prices been converging, the international and the local prices? Can you tell us a little bit about the growth in chocolates, which have had some significant increases in profit? Is this continue or is this sustainable? Thank you, Felipe, and I'm going to try to give an answer to both questions. About the coffee, it is very profound, but I'll try to explain it to you. Colombia is a very important coffee producer with a recognized quality of Arabica coffee, which is produced in different categories or classifications. One is the Excelsior coffee, but there are other specifications which comes from the production of coffee grinding. We only used to export the top quality, and the other varieties were used or sold within the country. When a couple of years ago the country decided to allow exports of the other varieties, and that was seen as a good news. We said to the coffee growing, to coffee growers, and the government says, "What are we good? Do you know that we are in favor of free trade? We believe that the companies improve when they go international." And we said that it was very good as long as if we exported, we could also import. What has happened in Colombia is that all the different varieties than the top quality have had very high price increases, because what has happened is that we have exported in some cases mixed with the top qualities, and those increases in those other varieties have been higher than 24% price increases. When you analyze them, because you can see the news, we had a very major debate in Colombia with some complaints about the low international prices. When they speak about low prices, they're talking about the low prices for the top quality, because international prices for the other varieties are not low. So what has happened actually is that there was a significant increase in the average cost of coffee. When we look at the Gold Cafe buys the best coffee, but also buys the other varieties. So what we've seen is an increase in the average price at which we bought coffee, and the foreign buyers have had lower prices. And we have a negotiation in which the buyers expect lower prices, but we have higher costs, and that pressure through competitiveness and new innovation, you make business, you do deals, but you sometimes lose some of those deals. But we try to build long-term relations, and we have customers over time. If there were or our businesses were all spot, we had met much bigger decrease in sales. Like Grupo Nutresa and its businesses have a very big in productivity. We believe that in the country it's very important to have the same job or evening out, because that cannot be sustainable only through subsidies. So with respect to what we've been able to do in the international markets, well, we're looking for new clients, more sophisticated offers, and trying to establish alliances with other manufacturers, and also like the National Coffee Growers Association, also look for other origins, and we try to brought on some of the varieties of Arabian coffee, especially from Peru and from Honduras, that allows to continue to manage our brand competitively. But there is also an effort to continue to grow that long-term relationship with our customers. It's a very challenging issue, but we had our first major coffee export in 1961 into Japan, and created, it has an international vocation. And this is a challenge. I want to remind you that we have coffee plants also in Chile and in Johor Bahru in Malaysia. We're trying to produce coffee in other geographies, but we want to be Colombia, Colombia's platform to be very competitive. That's part of the international scene. But in national scene, I'd like to tell you that we've done very well in roasted and ground coffee, but the rare challenge is in the soluble coffees, where we have a very strong competitor whom we respect, but which is also vulnerable, and we have a fight for the market, and we hope to continue to reach good levels. That is the outlook for coffee, together with the challenges commercially and in supply side. With respect to the chocolate business, I'd like to tell you that it is a very good growing business, and I usually don't use that, but I'd like to tell you that those growth, what has been like, because the first thing is that the international growth is extremely, extremely noteworthy. In Central America, the business grew 19%, 19.1 during the first quarter, mainly due to innovation and very good performance. In Central Mexico, we grew 13.5%, very good, capitalizing the synergies with our distribution network of the MLOC, and in Peru, we grew 8.7%. So these are high, significant growth. I'd like to tell you also that about a month ago, we opened our first sales of chocolates in Chile, where we were not before, and we are starting, and we're going to be doing work for several years to build a significant share. So it is a very good growth, leveraged on a sound position in Colombia. You saw that we gained market share, but a still stronger outside of Colombia, where we have a lot to do. We still have a long way to go, and we have brands that are very well beloved locally, and we have interesting innovation levels. That is the outlook for the future. Very clear about chocolate. The explanation of why what had happened, why the decrease in volumes. What has been the evolution of the first quarter until now that we have seen a significant improvement in the category? Is there a convergence between the international and the local prices? And how are we doing in our recovery of our customers? About coffee, the price challenge continues. As I said, there's a major pressure from the coffee growers to try to get some aid. We think that there should be a free market to have good prices for coffee. We have challenges in inputs. There are some alternative origins with the same quality or raw materials. And what we've been doing, as I said, is to work hand in hand with our allies and using our international platforms and innovations. But we see that the challenge is there. It's improved, but we still have a major challenge ahead. Thank you, Felipe. Mr. Carlos Rodriguez from Ultra. Good morning. Thank you very much for the conference. Congratulations on the results. You said how Central America was affected in consumer foods, but give me more details. What has the profit been like, and what is the outlook for that unit in Colombia? Thank you, Carlos. As Jose Domingo mentioned, we've had, well, the consumer food, well, as a whole, is the purchase we made in Colombia, which has several chains, and because of what we have in ice creams is divided between the Caribbean, where we, well, and Central America, where we have Pops. As Jose mentioned, what we've had in the case of Pops is a much rainier, heavier rains, and that has led our profit levels to be lower than expected. In the case of when it's better, we reported the entire business. What we've said in the previous conference about the business in Colombia is that we had a protection strategy and increasing the number of transactions, being very conservative with prices, trying not to touch the prices, rather creating entry-level prices so that the population could have access to the products. And what I wanted to tell you is that with that strategy in Colombia, it's been working well because we are increasing the number of transactions and sales are growing satisfactorily. We have some challenges in profits, but because of the productivity levels, are recovering those profit levels so far. I don't have a detailed report by business, by geography, but what I can tell you is that there was some decrease in profits because Central America was affected because of the weather. But we are still on our way to recovering our profitability, and this is an important business unit that gets us closer to the consumer. It has a good future, and Colombia has been showing some good sales. We think that we have had good profit levels also. question is about the debt level. What is the optimal, the level that you expect to close at the medium term? According to the risk rater, because the answer for leverage that you want to have is how you want to be rated and what are the risks for our risk profile that we want. What we have said to the rating agencies that a level of 3 is good, and you could even go a little higher as long as you had a well-built map to return to that corridor. We want to maintain our rating. I think it's according to the company profile, it's an orthodox company when with a moderate financial risk. We are very aggressive commercially, and we want to have zero reputational risk. But what I can tell you is that our financial leverage is one of the ways to increase our firepower. And when there are some deals that justify it, we'll use the best or the most appropriate financing. But what we do think is good news is that we have increasingly healthier flows that allow us to reduce this leverage, and that decreases our financial expenses and makes us even readier to have access to inorganic growth
we have a significant option. Thank you very much. Hieronymus Kovan has the next question. Congratulations on the results. One question about Peru. The implementation of this new tax is affecting several consumer segments. It's the alcohol, prepared drinks, and some cattle. But do you have any lobbying power with the government? Because the thing, the next to be affected would be products like chocolate and things. Yes, Geronimo. First of all, thank you for being with us in the conference. And I'll start by saying that so far we have not been affected by the new tax. But what is Grupo Nutresa's position vis-a-vis taxes associated with foods? We believe, first, that companies like ours have to act responsibly in several areas. First, reformulating the products in key ingredients such as sugar, fats, and sodium. It's a constant work without sacrificing the sensorial part, keeping the same taste and improving the nutritional part. And there's a very high percentage of our portfolio that has been subjected to these improvements. Secondly, we have innovation and the introduction of new products that have, from the get-go, a very nutritional, very good nutritional profile. We do this in all the categories where we act, and we want to offer the consumers some alternatives. However, that indulgence and pleasure that you have in food are not going to disappear, but if you have alternative products, that those who might want to modify the intake of some other product or some of these ingredients. The second way to do this is through transparent communications, trying to have clear information in our packaging so that the consumers can make decisions about their diet. And the other thing is that we support causes that encourage healthy self-styles. Grupo Nutresa, because of its code of governance, is not a company that makes lobbying, individual lobbying efforts. We act normally through our trade associations, and we try to get the laws to evolve scientifically, that there is some support for them. We're also in favor of having healthy regulations where there is no official regulation by the government. We do it as self-regulation so that the advertising communication reaches the right audiences. That is our profile. The other thing is that, honestly, we do not believe that those taxes by themselves will change consumer habits significantly. That's, education is very important, and it's the combination of those four work fronts that I mentioned is also very important. What we hope to do is the business environment for foods that are, you know, that are supported by scientific decisions. Sometimes more than science, they have, the laws have tax reasons behind them. We want them all to be viable, but so far we have not been affected by them. Thank you, very clear, and congratulations on the results. Question from Giovanna Castro from Itaú. Good morning, thank you for your question and answer session. It's about Peru. Nutresa has seen the impact of similar law, or perhaps less aggressive between 2011 and 2012. And they were affected, and the price were regulated, but there was a significant reduction in sales. This is in the area of chocolates and its dynamics in Peru. And the other question is, what is your strategy vis-a-vis reformulation or perhaps the change of products in the cold cuts? Because the reaction in such an aggressive market, it's a hard discounters and private brands, I don't know how much longer you can maintain this position. Thank you, Giovanna, for your presence and for these questions in the area of nutrition and health, that we know that there's not only risk, but there's also major opportunities. The first thing is the answer that I gave Jeronimo earlier, that is very much in line to what we have right now in laws. Nothing that will be issued in the future, because we have to analyze those when they come out, when they are issued. But I do stand on the fact that we're not going to be doing any independent lobbying. We're only going to work through the trade associations in Peru, and we're not going to attempt to defend like other industries when they try to get a regulation. But rather, we want to have regulations that evolve in a civilized manner. But I don't deny that there might be some risk of laws in the future. There will be also opportunities as long as you can develop more sophisticated products. And with respect to cold cuts and vision, I have very good news. We are actively working. In fact, with the reformulation, all our cold cuts that have in Grupo Nutresa are low sodium, and it's in every product. And for close to a month now, in the Pietran brand, the entire Pietran brand has been modified where they have no added nitrites. Those are two major innovations that are already in the market. And as you point out, in the case, specific case of this latest innovation, has been very well received. The public has been received. They're valuing it, and I think these are changes that do not affect taste, or they do not change our price to the consumer, and do not affect their shelf life of the products either. So these are changes that are backed by a lot of research, and that indeed they're more difficult to copy by the other players that are producing very basic commodity-type products. So I give you two examples. The decrease in the sodium content in the entire portfolio, which is in every brand, and the second, the Pietran brand without any added nitrites. But we will continue, and you'll see soon, I can tell you, but as of September, you're going to see some additional news in the category that have, you know, more options, and that offer alternatives for those consumers that want a different profile of nutrients in the cold cut category. Thank you very much, Joanna. As we said, the questions from the webcast are going to be read verbatim. So I'm going to read one question from Lomas and Sachs from English. Thank you, Luca. I'll give you the answer now. Specifically, we continue to look for inorganic growth through M&A
I would say that this is an opportunity to see that we continue looking at two fronts. First of all, the medium-sized and large companies that we're interested in the strategic region of Nutresa, and small companies also, that I say they can be divided into two groups. One, those that we want to reach with an approach of ventures, which are companies that you don't go through control, you go through the abilities that are associated, that we can develop in our businesses, and we're going to be active in ventures, but in this, companies, small companies, where we do acquire control to grow and to use them, using their platforms and our platforms in Grupo Nutresa in emerging countries where we are active. So we're going to be active in both fronts. About the categories, I would say that especially we're interested in companies that have anything to do with health and nutrition. That is an important front. We are opening some activities with internal innovation programs. We are going to have M&A in companies that have to do with health and nutrition. And on the other hand, we're interested in companies that add capacity to our current business. We're thinking that our strategic region that we've decided in has enough opportunities: Colombia, Central America, the Caribbean, the U.S., Southeast Asia. I'm talking also about Mexico, obviously. And we're also talking about the Andean region and Chile. We believe that in those geographies there are enough opportunities. In other territories, we are more just exploring, but we are working on an M&A, and that would be the strategy that we're carrying out. One last question through the audio. Germán Cristancho from La Vivienda. Good morning. My question was also focused on the M&A, so perhaps I would ask something to complement the what do you think about your sales growth objective for 2020? What is the maximum debt level that you wouldn't like to go over in your M&A activities? Thank you, Germán, for being with us. When Grupo Nutresa set our mega goal of duplicating, we knew that that was going to is going to affect the company significantly. The way we are doing it today, we should be growing 10.7% per year to achieve the goal. That is pretty demanding, but I want to remind you that the last 10 years we've grown at 9.7. So our M&A activities, inorganic growth, can have a significant contribution to our goal. But I want to give you a peace of mind, investors, and as I said in the previous conference, and I will repeat it, we are not going to do any M&A just to achieve our goal. We will do it if we find an opportunity that is important for the company and that we are certain that it is good for the shareholders. So our company profile is and has been looking for companies that we can grow and improve and at the same time bring new capacity. With respect to our debt level, and I think that with the answer that I gave you earlier about the rating has been partially answered, but I would like to add that every purchase you make, every acquisition has some conditions on EBITDA. And so the EBITDA that it brings to the different ways of financing is the one that allows you to have access to a company and
In addition, we've been used to buying 100% of the companies. That schemes where we've also have been able to control some companies, or we could do some partial combinations. So what I would like to tell you is that we want to continue to have a company with very good rating. We're going to be very cautious financially, but we're going to use all the sources of funding, the best available for each case, and through acquisitions that make us better. And we're not going to do anything just to achieve the numbers of the goal. That is the result. And meanwhile, there's a lot to do in the inorganic. There's a lot to do. You saw the innovation figures that I mentioned earlier. We're going to be very active in innovation, not only in Colombia, but also in all the regions where we have a presence. That is the answer that I can give you. Thank you very much. Last question from Carlos Ocampo, Colombia. My questions were answered. I only have one, especially by the consumer foods. This is a business that could have margins above the corridor, but have been decreasing because of what you said. What can you expect in the future? Can we expect significant improvements or the margin at least to become stable within the corridor? What can we expect? Thank you, Carlos, for being present in this conference. I'd say that what you could expect is a good sales growth, significant sales growth, and a gradual recovery of profitability. That's what I could tell you about. And the thing, we're going to be major efforts so that gradual recovery will not come by an excessive price increase, which could drive us away from the consumers. We're working on that, and we believe that we have a sound road, we have a good team, we have strong brands, and there are some conditions that would enable us to achieve that gradual recovery. Thank you, Carlos. This concludes the Q&A session, and we will adjourn the teleconference for results for the second quarter of 2018. Thank you for your active participation and your interest for our company, and we remind you that the contact line with the investor relations line is always open to you. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Thank you for your participation in this event. You may disconnect.